I want to add a little something to our understanding of the temptation of Eve that I left off the other night. Actually, I didn't think about it until later. In Isaiah 14, we're told what Satan's thoughts were. Let's start in verse 12. The whole chapter is about the part of the of chapter 14 is about Jesus' victory over the devil at the end. In verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart." This is so wonderful to me, that God would tell us humans what was in Satan's heart in the beginning of his rebellion.
That didn't mean he said it out loud.
He didn't say it out loud. He said it in his heart. These were the thoughts of Lucifer, the one that was so full of wisdom. What motivated him? "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above..." Does it say above God or above the stars of God? See, we can safely just ignore the Christian myth that the devil tried to overthrow God in heaven. It never took place. He's a coward when it comes to facing God. He has much more knowledge of God than men do. That's why men believe that Satan tried to overthrow God, because they don't know Satan and they don't know God. Satan never tried to be over God. He knew that was not going to be. Never could be. He has that much wisdom. If he's full of wisdom, he has that. But men don't have that. And so over the years, they've come up with this really silly notion that the devil tried to overthrow God. It's not what he said he would do. He would exalt his throne above the stars of God. "I will sit also," not alone, but "also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." Yeah. Then it goes on to tell him that he will not. "I will be like the Most High." Doesn't that sound kind of familiar? When you think about what the serpent told Eve, "God knows that in the day you eat thereof, you shall be like gods, knowing good and evil." What Satan accomplished with his seeds of discord was to cause Eve to want what he wanted. Yes. Well, we're really not told how long she contemplated that, but it wasn't long. It was a pretty quick effect there. So really what happened was that Satan persuaded Eve to want what he wanted, to act under the same spirit of envy and pride that motivated him. That's the kind of warfare Satan usually wins on earth and almost always fights. He doesn't like to fight in the light. It's always by underhanded means. Look at Philippians now. Compare this to Jesus. The King James Version is a very poor translation of this. As a matter of fact, the translation contradicts what Paul actually wrote, but there's a part in here I want to emphasize.
Philippians what?
Philippians chapter 2. Mark, do you have your trusty other version with you? Good, good. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." That's not what Paul said. What did Paul really say, Mark? What version do you have over there?
The NIV.
NIV ought to have it. Well, I don't know. We'll give it a shot.
"Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped."
That's exactly what Paul said. That's a good translation. Did not consider being like his father to be something to be grasped after or stolen or reached out for. The translators of the King James Version, being such strong Trinitarians, they twisted it to mean just the opposite. What Paul wrote was that Jesus had a different nature from Lucifer. He didn't strive to grasp after equality with God. But that's what motivated the devil in the beginning. And it's what motivated Eve to be like the gods. And in Lucifer's case, to be like God. That's the kind of warfare Satan fights. Underhanded, motivated by pride and envy at those who are higher in spiritual matters. And it never works in reality. Never. It never is going to lead to eternal life with Jesus. We just don't want to be the kind of people that are motivated by envy and pride.
Amen.
I know that the Bible says in Revelation 12 there was war in heaven. Let's look at that in Revelation 12. And there was war in heaven in verse 7. And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Amen. But the warfare they fought up there was not shooting lightning arrows at each other and all that kind of stuff. It was a spiritual warfare, the kind we're engaged in now, where the truth makes you free. It was the truth that made the angels free in heaven, loving it and loving the spirit of it. There is a force of evil that you can feel, and there's a force of good that you can feel. And the force of good is the Spirit of God, and the force of evil comes from any other spirit. It's not eternal. Amen. The world's full of them. Different brands, different sizes, different strengths. Everything except the good Spirit of God is not good. It's not eternal. Some are a lot worse than others. And some are okay now, but it's still not eternal. There's nothing like the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty.
Yes.
My father told me that shortly after he was anointed with power, I suppose the father felt that he was able to deal with it. And one morning when he was in the woods praying, kneeling down by a stump, he felt him coming. He felt the darkness coming through the woods toward him. And he told me, he said, if it wasn't the devil, it was one of his generals. It was some really powerful, dark spirit. And the closer it got, the more full of fear he got. And he had no resistance at all except to fall on his face and cry out for the blood of Jesus to help him. It was overwhelming. And when he was just screaming out for help from Jesus, and he said, in a few minutes, it just moved on away. That's the kind of warfare that's really going on. It's not one with bullets and swords and all of that. It's for your mind. And he said the same thing that I experienced when that dark spirit came to me in the basement of the man's house I was staying. It came to take over his mind. That's what it planned to do. You could feel it. It's like, it was just as if you could hear words saying, I'm going to take over what you feel, what you think. It's a will thing. It's not a physical battle at all. And as he cried out to Jesus, same way I did when I was in my situation. I just buried my head in the pillow. That was a black night, but that blackness was nothing compared to the spirit that walked into that room. I buried my head in the pillow and started crying out the blood of Jesus as hard as I could. When he walked on away, got on away from him, Jesus, I'm sure, told him to leave. My father sure didn't tell him to leave. He didn't have any strength at all, even though he had been anointed with power from God. He didn't feel that he had much strength. Jesus spoke to him and said, I went through that 40 days. You're not too good to go through that four minutes. When Jesus was in his warfare in the wilderness with Satan, it wasn't just a matter of Satan sitting over there on the outside of him. It was a mind struggle. And the fleshly body that Jesus had was working against him too. The flesh wars against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. When Jesus overcame Satan in the wilderness, he overcame his own flesh. He took control by the power of God over that spirit, over his flesh and that spirit. And it said he returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. That's what he lived by from then on. That's the kind of warfare that Eve really experienced. Only it didn't come as a threatening dark spirit. She didn't even realize what hit her. That feeling of, hey, that's what I want. I want to be like the gods. I want to know what God knows. I want, mm-hmm. That's what I want.
Like it was her speaking.
Just like it was her own idea. But it wasn't her own idea. That idea came from somewhere else. When she was motivated by it, look at how much suffering has resulted in this world. Every pain that anybody's ever felt has been because Adam listened to his wife, God said, instead of obeying God's commandments. Every heartache, every death of somebody you love, everything. Sickness, wars. Obey God. Don't take that route. That's the warfare you're in. And when you have some kind of strange thought or ungodly desire pass through, the sooner you realize it's not you, the sooner the victory's there. I went through years of battling that in my own mind and heart. Be so ashamed of myself for things I would... especially what bothered me was the anger, the senseless rage, the anger. I didn't realize it wasn't me. Until Brother Earl helped me out one day. He'd been kind of going through the same thing. And when he said that, when he told me, he didn't tell me about me, he told me about him. He didn't know what I'd been going through, and I didn't know what he'd been going through. But the Lord spoke to him at work. He said, it's not you. The spirit's around you that you're feeling. And when I felt, boy, you're talking about being liberated. From then on, whenever I felt those things, Lord, help whoever's feeling that. God, help them. They're in bad shape. I stopped repenting for something I wasn't doing. That's so frustrating. When you're not even guilty and you try to repent for something. It's puzzling, it's confusing, it's frustrating because God's not going to forgive you. You hadn't done anything.
You're already
forgiven and washed. Glory to God.
Come up on my mind.
Amen. He just wants us to know. To know ourselves. That's part of knowing Him. When He recreated you in Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. That new creature doesn't feel those things and think those things. It's not in Him. It's not in God. We've been made partakers of the divine nature. Peter said that. And that divine nature doesn't sit around having these flashes of unreasonable anger and so frustrated. I would get so angry, my head would feel like if I was sitting in front of a window, you could see steam coming off my head. My head would get so hot. I'd get away from everybody, just so I wouldn't say anything or do anything to hurt them. And I'd get away and go for a walk, and I finally got to where I when I felt it coming, I just get away and go start praising God. I figured, I'm going to discourage that rascal. And I did. He probably went back to the devil pouting. Every time I get close to him, he starts praising God. What?
Is this after you got the Holy Ghost?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was in the late 70s, I would guess, somewhere along in there. I mean, even in the 80s, we finally found out it wasn't. Phew, boy, what an adventure this is. You got to find out who you are once you have a new spirit. Once you have a new life, you got to learn what that new life is. And if you're taught good and right things, you learn it more quickly. If you're not taught the right things, you may never find out who you are in Christ. You may stay confused until the day you die and just be a child of God that He loves and saved because you didn't know any better than things you thought and felt and acted the way you acted. We want to please God. I love what David said in Psalm 19. Let the thoughts of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable to Thee.
Yes.
Let's get it both right, inside and outside.
Right.
Praise God.
Praise God.
And be careful what our motivation is. Eve never knew what hit her. And the children of God all around the world who become angry when they hear the wonderful truth of Jesus, they don't know what's motivating them. They'll never know who sowed that seed in their heart to hate the thing that their loving Father wants them to have. They'll never know. Nobody ever knows. It's been sown and sown and sown. Praise God.
Amen.
But I started thinking about Eve's motivation yesterday. And I thought, I want to add that to our discussion about Eve's temptation. Because what Satan actually accomplished by his slander was that she began to be motivated by the same desire he had, and he knew that's the only way he could accomplish it. If he could get somebody else, that's communion with Satan. That's fellowship with Satan when you and Satan have the same desire. When you're motivated by the same desire. And when he got somebody to be motivated the way he was motivated to grasp after what he was grasping after, equality with God, he had his kingdom. He had stolen from God what he was after. He had killed Eve's complete confidence in God and had destroyed her fellowship with the Lord. And Jesus said, the enemy, Satan comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he does. It's all he can do. It's what his spirit does to people when it gets around. It's allowed room to operate. So thank God for the fellowship that we have in the light. That sure does keep him away. Mm-hmm. Gives him. Paul said, give no place to the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, if you feel, if you feel a difference, a strife, a hole there between you and a brother in the Lord, that's where Satan works. That's where he can work, in the dark, in the cracks. He lives out of God's trash can. It lives out of God's trash can. One time some years ago, I took Uncle Joe's kitchen trash can to the meeting as the text of my sermon. Took out old bean cans and ice cream containers and remember the message? The message was that the Old Testament was the container. And as long as it still covered up the goods, we valued it. I like ice cream containers that have ice cream in them. But once I've opened them up and eaten up all the ice cream container is trash. That's the Old Testament ceremonies. As long as they were covering up the goods, they were valuable. But Jesus came and opened them up and said, here, eat. Let's eat ye, drink ye all of it. Eat ye all of it. Oh, glory to God. And when we got the goods out of the inside, God threw the container away, and that's what Satan's still using.
That's what people
think. He's using things that God used to be in. And we're living off God Himself. We live by the Father. Amen. Satan's a trash can man. He's been thrown away too. He's in God's trash can.
Amen. Down to the bottom.
Amen. Praise God.
John, since the scripture said Satan was full of wisdom, that word wisdom is pretty much the same all throughout the
Yeah, pretty much. And it says he was perfect in the day that he was created until iniquity was found in him. Somehow the wisdom he had from God, he abused it through pride and envy. And he was able to convince 1/3 of the angels in heaven to be motivated by the same thing.
A lot of slandering going on up there at that time.
You can only imagine the conversations Lucifer must have had with some of the other creatures in heaven. How could he have done it? How could... You got to give the guy credit. 1/3 of God's angels that behold him in heaven cast out with him.
Scripture says he's a worthy adversary.
Yes, he is something. He is something. He's nothing to the person that's so in love with God they can't get away from his spirit.
That's the key.
The key is the love of God. How much do you really love the truth that God's given you? Anything God's given you. Life on earth.
It's precious.
Amen.
That's the way we love truth.
Amen. That, you see, that's what, by teaching God's children that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a give or take thing, takes away the preciousness that they ought to feel toward the Spirit of God, and that's where Satan works.
That's wrong.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost is not optional if you want to serve God rightly and be saved in the end. If you want to come up out of the grave, you better have it with you when you go in.
Yes, sir.
And any doctrine that would diminish our love for what's really of God diminishes our love for God.
It sure does.
And Satan gets to share in the glory. He is a rascal if there ever was one.
Yeah, that lays a pride trap for the person that does get them. It's very true.
Very.
Being done something they really hadn't done.
Yes. If you think you're already washed from sin and you're right with God and everything's fine, and then you go the super extra mile and keep following Jesus till He baptizes you with the Spirit, you have really arrived. You start out with pride.
Man, yeah.
You start out thinking you're somebody extra compared to the rest of God's children who don't have the Holy Ghost. Well, they're not God's children. You're starting out on square one, not on square 10. So that doctrine inculcates pride into people to start with. That's what my father said all those years, and I'm just now piecing it all together. He said, God's children have become proud of their humility. They humble themselves to God until they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then got so proud of it, God couldn't take them anywhere. Couldn't teach them. The spirit that they received
that
couldn't guide them.
That's something that I saw in Full Gospel. That's why then a lot of them guys in the Full Gospel that had the Holy Ghost thought they was something special,
right,
and loved the titles that people would bore them.
I went to NC State University visiting some friends way back. I guess I was 18, 19 years old. Maybe a little bit more than that. But we went to a little prayer meeting held by students just actually younger than I was. I was probably about 20. They were 18. They were freshmen probably, 19. And one of them was standing up talking about, if anybody has a prayer request, ask us elders and we'll... And he just went on. I was sitting there astonished. He thought he was an elder. Already an elder. That's as bad as the Mormon missionaries who introduce themselves as elder so-and-so. That's the pride of Satan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what he does to us, God's children, when we don't know the truth. When we think, not only did we get saved, we got sanctified and we got received the Holy... Man, we are up there. Instead of understanding that the day... as my father used to say, the day you receive the Holy Ghost is your first day of school.
Yes.
It's your first day. But if you believe you got saved way before that, and now you think you're in college.
And then they say, come, let me teach you.
Then, yeah. And then if God sends somebody to teach you, you don't like what that man says. Because you have to come down from your thinking you're in college level down to first grade, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And pride won't let you do that. The reason Christian ministers and Christians in general grow angry at what I'm teaching is not because it's wrong. It's because they have to come off a very high horse to humble themselves to hear
right.
it.
Amen.
It's not because it's so bad. It's because what they think of themselves is so bad and so high. Praise God.
I like what you said the other day. Anybody that gets anything from God, when they got anything from Jesus, they had to come low.
Very low.
Very low.
You never got anything from Jesus with pride. You crawled to Jesus.
Amen.
You humbled yourself to Jesus. You just had faith enough just to touch Him and then hide. Glory to God. Amen. And the truth will teach you to stay humble. And if you don't, your father will teach you to stay humble some other way. And that'll be the truth too. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I love this. I love it. I love how it makes you feel when you talk about it. There's life in it. There's life in it. There's eternity in it. It'll hold you up. It won't put you down. It'll encourage you and make you wise. Keep you from falling into some kind of trap along the way. It will save you. That's what I love about it. You feel salvation when you talk about it. Praise God. Well, I just wanted to throw those scriptures in to add them to our Eve and Satan discussion.
Amen.